Welcome to the Grace Hour Show, a Christian program that takes a dive into our daily challenges and helps us learn our faith in a practical way. I'm Paul Androlonis, joined in the studio by Philippe Siragi. And
well, I'm joined in
back.
The studio by Paul Androlonis.
Yeah, you're joined by me. Yeah,
because I've been around, and then you've been AWOL.
Yeah, yeah, I've been detoxing.
Grace Hour detoxing.
Grace Hour detoxing.
So perfect for today, right? This is our theme today. So you've been experiencing the detoxing before we talk about the information overload, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. How are you doing, Philippe?
I'm doing good.
You're doing good.
I got to adapt to a new face because I...
Well, dad's been filling in for me, so
yeah,
it's
not that much of an adjustment
that you
have
to make.
I have a younger version of
at least
of
visually, the, yeah. Visually, it's just go back 20
not the same
years.
Color hair.
But yeah. Well, it's getting there.
It's, well,
I mean, now that I have longer hair, people realize it's gray.
It's getting gray,
yeah,
but at least you have hair.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that is a true statement.
So,
anyway. I thank the Lord for that.
Yeah. You can't.
Yeah, he knows my frame. He knows I couldn't handle it.
You couldn't handle it. Yeah.
But this week, the topic is digital. What is it called? Digital detox or
no?
But
it's called social media and technology, and we're discussing information overload.
That's
yesterday.
Our topic, yeah.
Pastor Roger and Lizzie Robin spoke about convenience versus connection, which I think is a very good way to put that. And they said some great things. And if you haven't heard from that episode yet, I think you should go and take a listen because it's going to be a good week, I think, because there's two guests this week, Wednesday and Friday.
Interviews.
Interviews, people that are actually specialists. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a very interesting, loaded week with the good stuff. Because the idea of the challenges of technology, is a real thing. And just for the sake of the conversation, so obviously you and I, I have my phone right here. I use information technology. I have apps that I have access to the news on my phone. Mm-hmm. So we're not saying, to drop all these social media.
My job is
your job is IT. Yes.
So, yeah.
So we're not saying we're not saying anything, but as Christians, we have to exercise wisdom in what we do. And not just as Christians, it's interesting. I've heard this many times. Well, maybe Christians are anti-technology, but the rest of the world isn't. And that's not true anymore. Where my home country, which is France, a very secular country in many ways, not interested in any input by beliefs or religions. And you can see in the media the concerns by... psychiatrists, pediatric doctors, pediatricians, pedopsychiatrists, specialists for children, and they're realizing that they don't have the brain capacity and to process everything they know. Mm-hmm. Put it out there, and it's one thing that we discuss with the seniors in GGCA in schools when I talk to the high schoolers. They have to understand that their brain won't be fully functional until the age of 25 at best, and maybe 20 up to 28 years. So it means from the age of 18, when they graduate high school, they have another maybe 7 to 10 years where their brain is not fully functioning because it's not fully developed.
Yeah.
And while during that development phase, when you run your old until 25 years old, it's a quarter of a century of development of the brain. That can be affected by your habits, what you're doing, and then and we see that also with the studies that have been done by educations or parents that are maybe not more intelligent than other people or not qualified other people, but they stress the importance of maybe exercising or playing music or being good at school, and those students become better at schools, better at things they do because there's an intention behind it. So the whole point, I think, what we don't want to talk about today is not to blame anyone for anything, but just realizing, okay, this is a real thing. Information overload is a real problem into this society. It's a real problem for the younger you are because it has effects on your mental health. So let's look at that. Let's assess the situation and let's see if the Bible has anything to say about these particular things. Might sound odd because obviously when we talk about information technology, we wouldn't find a verse that says anything about social media.
Yeah, I looked.
There's none, right? Yeah, yeah. And I looked also, but there wasn't any. But the point
even
being,
even in the message, there's no.
No, even in the message translation, there's not nothing there. And but the point is, we will see as we unfold the conversation.
Yeah.
The Bible has things to say that expand.
Yeah.
To the of course. To the challenges of today, right?
Yeah, and I think there's a certain each one of us as human beings have a certain capacity, attention capacity,
yeah.
or level information capacity that we were designed for, or that is innate in us, and we are, you know, even not even in religious circles, but even from a scientific perspective, there are these discussions about the amount of information that is available.
Mm-hmm.
Not only available for us to consume, but every day there's additional information being created that is also exponentially increasing, that is just making this mountain of information yes. higher and higher. And our capacity really has not changed for yeah. that. And we are not getting better at consuming information.
Yes.
We're getting better at making the content or making the information, and we are still falling further and further behind. And I was reading a few different articles in preparation mm-hmm. for this.
Yeah.
And one of the things that was interesting was like, there's a capacity of 120 bits per second that we can consume, or that like as human beings is our capacity for absorbing information mm-hmm. and retaining information. And a normal conversation, having a conversation with one person, is about 60 bits of information per second.
Mm-hmm.
So really, we can only consume at most, and probably not well, two people talking at us. And if yeah. anybody's been in a conversation like that, or been in a place where you're trying to kind of have your attention on two things at the same time, you can't really receive anything mm-hmm. from either one, or you're going to be limited in one.
Yes.
And just imagine not only like having a conversation, but then you're having music playing in your ear, you're having a screen with information on it, and then you're consuming all these different things that are yeah. just coming at crazy speeds towards us without us even recognizing maybe how much information it is. And another part of that article said that at this point we're receiving 90 times more information than was consumed in 1940.
Mm-hmm.
So 50 years ago, 90 times more information. And it's about 82 hours a week is we are consuming information. That's given a standard, mm-hmm. like sleeping yeah. 7 hours a night
yes.
or something like that, which we know that there are people who don't sleep 7 hours a night
yes.
and they replace that sleep with consumption of information, or maybe consumption's the wrong word, just endlessly scrolling through whatever
yeah.
it is. So there's definitely evidence for the overload of information,
yeah.
not just coming from a religious standpoint, but coming from a scientific standpoint. And as you mentioned,
yeah.
as from an earlier and earlier age, and I think that it was Liz who said yesterday on their episode about the physical implications of the information that we are consuming, or
yes.
just our addiction
yes.
to that information, and how it can have the same effects of smoking cigarettes or having another physiological type of thing where there's an actual substance you're putting
yeah.
into your body, but the information that we can see, the information that we consume, and
yes.
how it can impact our attention span, our emotions, our spiritual life, our relational life, our anxieties, worries, all those different things, and the neural pathways, physiological implications that
yes.
come with that are real, and as I said, not unique within the church or within a Christian or
no.
religious framework, but are scientifically being studied, and there's concerns for
yes.
that because of how impactful the information mm. is and how it can affect us as a society. So
yeah.
I think that's something that's important to make a designation. What we're talking about is not just something that we're speaking to believers about, or something that only the church is talking about. It's actually scientifically
yeah.
something that is of concern as well.
I mean, I just want to go back to a couple of things you said. So I think we need to put this in perspective for our listeners. So about the substance idea. So it's an addiction without substance abuse, but it's substance creating, which is the amazing thing. If I read something, it has a chemical reaction.
Yeah.
if I laugh, it's a chemical reaction first. If I feel good, it's a chemical reaction first. If I feel stressed, it's mm-hmm. another. So there's a good side of, you know, some videos, if there is some maybe form of serotonin that comes mm-hmm. out, you know. Mm-hmm. But then when anxiety kicks in because I'm watching the thing that I end up watching things that are stress mm-hmm. inducing, this is a form of substance abuse. And in this world today, we don't realize, but actually, and then this has been very well studied in psychology, that being sad, being a victim, or being someone who you know, we end up, which is the oddest thing, we end up feeling comfortable in bad situations because it becomes our identity.
Yes.
And because our issues are becoming normalized in society, then we stay there. And I've found, and just as a side note, I find so interesting when I talk to the people I'm talking to is, you know, like with this idea, I don't know if you heard that, it's actually a lot on social media, normalize this, normalize that, you know, like normalize depression. I get it. When you're saying this, if you mean that you shouldn't ostracize people because they live in depression, and I, as a Christian, I have to be extra careful about this because I could just fall into a trap in thinking, well, you're going through depression because, or sadness or grief because you don't walk with God. And that is so much untrue. You know, so much, it's false. It's actually a lie. But on the other hand, if you mean my normalized depression is that I'm going to speak about this and I don't want to hear any solution because this is where I am. This is where I'm going to park. That's exactly what we're discussing. The substance abuse becomes a substance abuse by default because we're not using symptoms, but we are actually using substance as a second degree. Like I'm reading, I'm doing something and I feel. So that's important for us. And the second thing you said 90 times, I don't think people realize I really make a calculation on my phone, make sure I get it. That means an 8,900% increase, not a 100% increase, which is would be double.
Yeah.
It's 8,900% increase of information, which is like, if you were to put this and have this number in the stock market, you would have put the $100 in the 50s, you would be a billionaire today. It's how big it is.
Yes.
So I think we need to put that number out there because 90 times is huge in terms of percentage. Now, because we're so huge. Yeah, 90 times. Oh, yeah, well, I had a dollar. I have $90. Not a big deal. But no, it's like if you have 60 bits of information, which is half your brain capacity, this is the one conversation. Yeah. You multiply this by 98,900%, and then you can't. You just can't.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. So I was talking to someone not too long ago, and they introduced themselves as someone who is like, I'm introvert, and I'm kind of socially awkward. So we navigated the conversation a little bit by saying, well, you don't have to say that. If you like your quiet time, you know, you don't have to say you're socially awkward or introvert. Technically, I am an introvert. Because when I'm done with my social battery, I'm out. You know, so that's just the way they ask my wife. She'll tell you sometimes we have parties at the house. There's 20 people and I disappear. And she wonder where I am and she knows where to find me. And after maybe 30 minutes, she said, well, maybe you could come back. And I'm coming back. So I don't have a problem with that. You know, it's like, do I have a capacity to be with 40 people at the same time with noise level and kinds of things? I don't. But then I don't park there as being my identity in one way. But on the other side, I realize it becomes more an issue nowadays because there is an overload every single places I go. If I go back home and the first thing I do is switch on the TV and put a live stream 24/7 news media, guess what?
Yeah.
I'm going to be stressed out.
Yes.
Because, and the thing is, which is amazing, I go at the office, I get 100 emails in a day, sometimes more. I get 12 meetings, I got work to do, and I go home and I want to switch on the TV or switch on whatever or look at my social media and I'm seeing things that are just in my feed. Mm-hmm. And then there is no break. I just don't have the pause that I need to be able to process things.
Yeah.
How does that affect my family life? How does that affect my friendships? How does that affect my capacity to help my neighbors, which is something we're going to talk down the road, which all this needs to be understood. So thank you for these numbers. They're very important for us to realize.
Yeah. And I think the numbers and just the amount of information that we see and lots of collection of information also, you know, that is happening within these platforms, within these websites, within, you know, different organizations are trying to gather information and collect information in hopes to use that information for the benefit of whatever, that company, for the benefit of society. And at its heart, you're like, oh, we want to get as much information as we can. But even in those instances, it's like, we don't know what to do with the information. Yeah. We don't know how to use it. We don't know how to harness it. And I don't know if we ever will, because I don't know if we were meant to know all that information necessarily. Yes. And that's on like a scale of those companies and what their purpose is. But each of us as individuals, we're also gathering information. We're also trying to have information so that we can make informed decisions, or so that we can live our life to the best that we can. And in some of the cases, in a lot of the cases, more information is not beneficial for me to make an informed decision or to live my life. And I think we get the illusion by having more information that we are in control.
Yeah.
And we use that information as a means to make the right decision. We use that information as a means to not make a mistake. We use that information as a means to relate with other people, maybe. Mm-hmm. You know, you go on Amazon to buy a product, you see all the reviews of the stars, how many stars it is, and all these people said this is a good product, so I'm going to buy this one as opposed to this one, which is using that information in order to make an informed decision on what I should buy. But that kind of relinquishes me from the responsibility of my decision, because I'm taking the information from this source in order to decide. And we can have that same impact, or that picture can be applied to our life in other ways also, where I am not able to make an informed decision. I'm not able to decide what I'm supposed to do because I don't have all the information that I need. But is that information that I think that I need actually going to change my viewpoint or help me make that decision? Or is it a mechanism that I use in order to defer that decision to later down the road? So it's interesting how our relationship to information can impact the way that we live our life. And that's one of the things that we're talking about today, is we have the information we talked about. It's an overload. It's so much information.
Yeah.
And in some ways it can be beneficial, in other ways it can be detrimental. And how do we navigate between those two ends of the spectrum?
Yes.
This is too much information. This is too little information. Yeah. And this is the information I need. This is the information I need to focus on. This is the information that will help me and be beneficial to me. And how do I have discernment in that area? And I read this book last year, or I think end of last year, by a guy named Carlos Whitaker. He's a Instagram, YouTube guy, and he did this detox, digital detox type of thing, where he gave his phone to his wife, and he was at a Franciscan monastery for 2 weeks, and then he went and lived with the Amish for 2 weeks, and then went home and he lived for 3 weeks without any devices, without any screens, without any of that stuff. And he was talking about in this book about how we think we have information. We have all the information we could ever want and ever imagine. And with that information, we think we have control.
Yeah.
We think, if I know this, then I am in control. And he used the example of there's apps on phones for parents that, or for families that have teenagers or young adults, where you can have the location, and on our iPhone, you can share your location with everybody, and you have the location for wherever anybody is. And I can know where my kids are at all times. And that can be beneficial in some cases.
Yeah.
And it can be detrimental in other cases, because if I see my kid who is on my phone where they are, and they're in a part of town they're not supposed to be at, do I have any control on what happens to my kid if they're in that bad area of that? And I could say this information is beneficial to me because I know where they are, but actually I can't do anything about that.
Yeah.
I could call them and try to see what's going on, but I can't actually change what happens to them because I'm not with them.
Yeah.
And we replace maybe the information with the connection that we desire or the control that we want. And it's kind of like a duct tape on that, where I'm like, well, I know where my kid is, but I can't do anything about it. So how do we navigate this control, this information, where I think that I can have the information and that information is going to help me and be beneficial to me. But then in some cases, I can't even impact or have an effect on that thing that's happening.
Yes.
So this spectrum of beneficial versus detrimental information versus my control and how do I navigate those things are important for us, I think, to be discerning of in our, and I'm not saying don't have the location for your kids, but I'm just don't depend on that as a means for you to feel like they are safe or like that they're in a place where that's going to help me be in control of a situation, because they could be where they're supposed to be and something could still happen to them. So me seeing where they are is not necessarily the case. And he, in this book, he talks about, he asks his mom about that. Like, mom, if 30 years ago when I was a teenager, which this technology did not exist then, how would you have felt if you knew where I was all the time? And his mom was like, I would have been worried sick every night that you were out of the house because I could see where you are and see what was going on. And I would be wondering what you're doing and what trouble you're going to get in, all these different things. And it just adds on like, oh, this is supposed to help me, but it's actually increasing my worry and my anxiety because I still don't know.
Yeah.
But I think I do.
Yeah.
But I really don't.
It's a great, that's amazing because I think, I mean, okay, so so if we take this and expand it to the idea of social media and how much things we know, you know, like, okay, so before I do, I think I just want to say this. So the idea of information overload came out in the 1960s before we had the 24/7, you know, news media, you know, so I think some of them came out in the 80s.
Yeah.
And it was coined as an idea, like we already had too much information because we had, there's papers, there's radio, there's TV, there's all kinds of things.
Yeah.
And we're gaining access. And that was before the information technology time where social media, which actually added three things to the information overload idea, the quantity of information we have, then the ease of dissemination, that's what the second point. And the third one was the breadth of exposure.
Yeah.
Like right now, I can know whatever I want about anything. It's just like, I don't even have to go to a computer anymore. I have that here, right here.
Yes.
Now, it's even more though. So now that we're getting those connected glasses, you know, that we thought were the, like in science fiction movies, that you can actually have, and they're connected to your, you know, device, internet, you know, by Bluetooth. So, of course, you have to be a certain range. But then if we end up going to connect to Wi-Fi, you could have that any hotspots you find in anywhere you live. So I just have to, you know, I just have to say something. There's a small microphone. There's the research for me. It comes up in my screen. I can pretend I know something that I don't even know. And it's amazing to realize that this is, that I think I've already heard this sentence, which is a saying, I'm trying to remember who said it, the knowledge is power. And actually, this is such an interesting thing because it was true a long time ago. It's not true anymore.
Yeah.
Because actually, look at the amount. I want to say something, and I don't want to be controversial, but I just want to give an example. So,
get there, be controversial.
Yeah, I don't want to be controversial, but I'm just saying. So, with there's a Russian-Ukrainian war started over 3 years ago.
Yes.
And how many millions of flags of Ukraine have we seen in countries that support Ukraine?
Mm-hmm.
Right. I don't know. Hundreds, thousands, millions. I don't know. Did it change anything? It didn't.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any single difference.
Yes. The war is still going on.
The war is still going on. We're still not, you know, we don't see the end of it. And the point being is what's interesting, which I want to introduce the idea, like where we're going to go before we have to come with a solution at the end. But I think it's so interesting how we end up as Christians minimizing prayer. It's so interesting. I had this conversation with Lizzie yesterday, just before, you know, maybe she said it on the radio, but she just gave me like a good thought. And she said, you know, because they were missionaries in Turkey, and there's some unrest right now because of the mayor of Istanbul has been arrested. He's the leader of the opposition for the current president. So they think it's a political anyway. So some of our friends, one in particular, you know, like we're not happy with her because she didn't post anything. You know, she said, well, I could, but I mean, but her post was about prayer, which I think is very, so if I know something, can I still go old school by God to God and say, God, this is, there's nothing I can do this. Can you take this away from me? Hmm. I care about these people.
Yeah.
And then just let it go. I remember when I was growing up, you know, in my faith, realizing that prayer is letting go. But then if I keep going and posting and participating and having, you know, tattoos, whatever, to show my support or something, it eats me from the inside. And so it's okay to have a burden. It's okay to be sad. It's okay to have, but at some point, can I just let go and give it to God? You know, like, can prayer, is prayer still a thing? You know, and I'm saying this because I've observed a couple things, you know, in my ministry as a leader, is two things. Don't give me a verse, you know, when I depression, because you're minimizing my depression. I want you to normalize it.
Yeah.
Okay, I get the point. If you feel like I do, I don't want to do that. I want to help you. But do you think God has something to tell you in your situation? Yeah. If you don't, you're doomed and I can't help you. So let's bring back the verses, not as a prescription, like, okay, three verses, you'll be fine, and neglecting the depth of a sorrow that people can go through. And someone loses a spouse, like I was in the face-to-face service on Sunday, and Phil, you know, Occolini, who passed away in the last month, and it's hard he has a wife behind, he has a daughter left behind, and I can't just like the hey, high five, you know, God is with you and move along. I can't do that. But on the other hand, I have to say, hey, I'm praying for you. I thought about you today. This is the verse I had in my mind. I hope it will encourage you. This is, let's normalize prayer. Let's normalize verse sharing and encouragement, because this is one way that God has given us. We can deal with information overload.
Yeah.
Because I can let it go. But if I don't let it go because I think I have power, and that's what you were saying, then I'm going to change the destiny in Ukraine because I have a flag on my car.
Yeah.
I don't think so, buddy.
Yeah. Because, you know? I mean, the question we are all asking, or that we think information, or that information helps us answer, is like the question of why.
You know,
why am I sick? Why is this happening? Why am I this way? Why did that, you know, fire start? Whatever the case is. And we look for the answer. But as you were saying, in some cases, the answers are not going to change the circumstances just because I know the reason why it's happening. And I think we, as we've progressed as human beings and as society, we've answered that question, why, more. Why does the sun rise in the east and set in the west?
Yes.
Why are the oceans the way that they are? Why are there certain fish here and certain fish there? Why, you know, we have all these answers scientifically through observing the universe that God created, that we are able to explain things. Now, maybe we're not necessarily answering the question why, we're just answering how does this work, or the functioning of these things. But, you know, using the example of like, why am I sick? Like, if I get the answer to that question, I'm still sick.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I have a fever, I'm having these symptoms, whatever. I don't know what's happening. And I go to the doctor and the doctor tells me, you're sick and this is what you have.
Mm-hmm.
And in some cases, I will remain sick. There is no cure. There is no healing. There is maybe something. And I was thinking of Phil Occhialini also, like just like the suffering that he endured in his life. And we can have the answers to the whys. We can have the answers to the what is causing this to happen in my life physically or emotionally or financially or logistically. Oh, this is why this is happening. Your car is doing this because this piece needs to be replaced. Okay, then I need to replace it. But there's going to be things that come up in your life where you're going to know the answer to why or why it's functioning the way that it's functioning. Mm-hmm. But there's always, maybe the answers are not going to be to the depth or the fulfillment that I'm looking for. And I'm hoping for information. I just need more information to help me get to that point where I have enough.
Yes.
To the point where I know everything I need to know.
Yes.
Where I can answer all the questions that are going to arise in my life. And I just have to ask whatever AI bot I have at my disposal in order to get the answer and and have solution. But that doesn't necessarily give me the peace that passes understanding.
Yes.
That doesn't necessarily give me the hope that I need, because there are things that are beyond information, beyond my comprehension, that go into this world. There are things that are unseen, things that are unknowable, that are the answers to these questions. And no matter how much information I can absorb, and we can only absorb so much information, I'm still going to have those questions unless I am willing to let go that utopian idea of me coming to the knowledge of it, you know, always searching and never coming to the knowledge of the truth.
Yeah.
Right? I can keep and keep and keep. And it's just such a interesting, you know, aspect of our lives where more information makes me feel more in control. Mm-hmm. More information makes me feel like I'm going to have a better outcome in this situation. And what you, when you were saying, made me think of this, and it's a picture that I've used in biblical psychology or just in thinking about these things. There's so much, all the things we're talking about, this information overload we're talking about is all external. It's all stuff that I can consume, stuff that I can have access to, or things that are coming, you know, advertisements or things that I don't have control over, maybe that are still impacting me externally. But do I have something internal that is also, that is pushing back on those things to help me be still and to help me be satisfied and secure in who I am and what my life is about and these things, so that I'm not overwhelmed and just kind of falling in on myself with the amount of information, the deluge of information that is coming at me.
Yeah.
And I think that is, how do I handle when I don't know, when I don't have all the information, or when I'm unsatisfied with the information?
Right.
Because, you know, we all, in some cases, and that's very big in our culture, especially given the conspiracies that come up and the things that come, we just need to know the truth.
Yeah.
Right. We just need to know what happened. We just need to know why this is the way that it is. Can we live on Mars?
Yeah.
Can we do this? Can we do that? Like, what's at the bottom of the ocean? Once we find out all these things, then everything will be
fine. We live in happiness.
Yeah.
Like ever
that's,
after.
That's just like not realistic, you know? In some cases, not knowing is, maybe some would say that's like ignorance is not bliss. And that's not what we're saying.
Yeah.
We're just saying, I am willing to recognize my limitations and be okay with my limitations and give my limitations to the limitless God, who knows all things, who cares about me and numbers the hairs on my head and bottles my tears, and his thoughts toward me are as numerous as the sand on the seashore.
Yeah.
And I'm willing to say, I can't handle this much information. I can't handle whatever it is that's coming up, and I'm going to trust in him.
Yeah.
And that will help us frame and help us recognize and discern, okay, is this information I need?
Yes.
Is this information that is beneficial or not beneficial? Is this something I need to give my time to? Because information is exponentially increasing, but our time is finite. Our time that we have is not changing as compared to the information at all. So we're going to there's going to be a give and a take that comes along with that. Like, am I willing to give my time to this mountain that was that is continuously growing? So,
I mean, I'm looking at Daphne, who's making a point here. Like, there's a lot of false information and lies available out there. It's just completely true. I mean, it's amazing for me to say. So I teach critical thinking, you know, in to the seniors in high school. And I the one way we go about that, I mean, there's foundational principles about, you know, finding the truth in the, so how to spot a graph that has been manipulated, which they're all over the place. So it says, go ahead, Google one, I'll tell you what's wrong with it. And 99% of the time, the graphs don't start with the zero at the bottom because they want to make a point, you know. So I show them two graphs, that one starts properly, the other one that I manipulate differently. And I made a speech on both, and actually, and they were convinced by my graph. And then I put the graph properly in proportion, and then my speech just flew out the window because it was not true.
Yeah.
And in critical thinking is also interesting. So we're looking at, I don't know, you were in the class, I don't know if you remember, maybe Jehu years ago, but, you know, there's this commercial, you know, for a credit card. Like, it's actually not a credit card. It's a debit card. But instead of, so they sell you the card, you know, I could say it because it's, you know, it's anyway, it's I won't say it because, I mean, the point being is that The main argument for you to get the card is you get paid two days earlier. If you get paid on a Friday, weekly, bi-weekly, monthly, you get paid on Wednesday.
Oh,
which obviously, you know, for someone who's struggling,
get your money faster.
Yeah, get your money faster. So it's, the point is if you live from paycheck to paycheck, guess what? You won't have to struggle for 2 days. And they thought this is a great argument. And I said, okay, well, okay. So now I'm sending you the card you want. Yeah, we want the card. Okay, so you're gonna get paid on Wednesday, and next week, what day you think you'd get paid on next week? And they'll think about, well, yeah, Wednesday. I'll see it 2 days earlier. Okay. How many days there is between Wednesday and Wednesday? 7. And the same amount between Friday and Friday. So what have you gained? You've gained 2 days in the first week, and then you're doomed for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
There's no advantage at all.
And then if you stop that, then it's 9 days between paychecks.
Yes. Now you have to go back and you have to wait. So you. Yeah, anyway, so the point being is, like, if you don't use critical thinking, and we don't do the work anymore.
Yeah.
Like one way, so I was asked the other day, like, you know, how do you process, for me personally, how do you process, you know, information? I said, number one, and it's true, I never watch any continual news feeds. Never seen one. Don't even care. Not interested. Never on in my life. I don't have the app. Not interested. What I do is I decide once a day, I have apps that are, I'm looking at two different papers that I know are from opposite political. And I'm looking at things through this. I'm looking at this and say, okay, well, that's an interesting topic. I'd like to know more about this because I think it will affect maybe some decisions. Yeah. I don't know, maybe the interest rates of the central bank that would affect if I refinance my house, whatever. So it has an effect on me, you know.
Yeah.
So I look at the headlines. I'm looking at this. Okay, well, I look at the other one. Maybe you might say one is like center left and the other one is right maybe, or politically or whatever, socially.
Sure.
And then I'm gonna see what the other guy says about this, you know.
Yeah.
And then this particular economist has a take on it because he's more like a socialist in his idea. So I can see, I know that because I know the guy, you know, is Thomas Piketty. He's a well-known economist in Europe. So he wrote the article. I know who the guy is.
Gotcha.
So I'm processing differently. It takes me 15 minutes max per day, max. And the rest, I can see many headlines I'm not interested. So most people say, hey, you heard about this? No, I haven't heard about this. You know, have you heard about this? No, have you heard about this? You know,
how do you feel when people ask you if you've heard about something and you say, no, I haven't.
No, I haven't. And if they ask me why, it's because I'm not looking for this, but you should. Why? You tell them, convince me why I should.
Yeah.
And guess what? Zero argument.
Yeah.
There's never an argument.
But that's like the thing that happens. Oh, wait. There's so much information. I should know everything that's going on in the entire, that's unrealistic, first of
Absolutely.
All. But like, it's really the pressure that you have with the amount of information we have.
Yes.
I should know something crazy when something bad happens or something, it pops up on your newsfeed or, on social media, or if you're just reading an article or whatever the case is like, I have felt that type of like pressure or like, should I be more in touch with society, in touch with what's going on?
Yeah.
And I'm like, part of me is like, yes, I mean, being informed versus being a slave to like, wait, what happened? I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss this. I don't want to miss that. And it's kind of what these information companies, that's kind of one thing that they feed on is like the need to know and the desire to be in the know of whatever it is, not missing out on the new trend, not missing out on what happened, not missing out or not knowing something, being the driving force behind me going continuously back to the same app and doing the same things over and over again. So,
I mean, what people don't realize maybe, and I haven't realized until I researched it, maybe, okay, not for this time, but because I'm teaching in high school, I'm going to say a couple of things about, you know, this idea of what are the consequences, you know, and then maybe in last couple of minutes, we can give like very specific tips on how to help each other process and deal with information overload. So the information overload leads to what they call attention theft.
Attention theft.
Yeah. So your attention is gone. So it leads to withdrawal. We're less social because we're tired.
Yep.
Number two, we have unsatisfaction. There's a lack of motivation in what we do because people have a better life than we do, or because I'm depressed. What's going on in the world?
Yeah.
Like right now, would I want to work? Is I don't know. Maybe there's World War III. You know, I don't know. I've been hearing the threat of World War III since I was 15 years old.
Yes.
And I am more than 15 years old. I've been 15 years old several times. Number three, emotional, what they call load bearing. I feel the weight on
which
me.
Is like empathy.
Yes.
Right.
Well, yeah. I think you don't have the capacity.
It's disproportionate amount Absolutely. Of empathy for things. Yeah.
Exactly. And then the next one is pessimism. And then they say mental health, stress, anxiety, sleep loss, ADHD, which is actually something that's interesting because you can't, I'm all over the place. Now I can't concentrate anymore. Yeah. And Google, I need to find anyway, so you know how now our attention span gets so short. Yeah. And shorter and shorter that yeah. they have to use that in marketing to know how long you can actually watch it. And the attention span is below eight seconds
eight
now,
seconds, yeah.
and
yeah.
which is lower than the goldfish. It's so interesting.
Yes,
in marketing, not you know. So we don't have the capacity anymore, which is so interesting. And the last one is self-esteem. We're losing it mm-hmm. because of that very idea of information overload.
Yes.
And then anyway, so and then that virtue signaling though, it's for me that comes out of information overload. I need to tell everyone how good I am, so I'm posting about all kinds of things. But in the meantime, which leads us maybe some of the tips, I'm not doing anything. Really, like I can post against racism, but I will never join a local organization that fights against it. Mm-hmm. I don't have time for this.
Yeah.
Well, you have 3 seconds to post something on social media, but you wouldn't care enough, so you would do something about it. So it's so interesting.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you want to say something about that, but I can start giving you a couple of tips if you want.
Well, yeah, I was just going to say that kind of lends to the convenience aspect that Roger and Liz were talking about yesterday. It's just like, oh yeah, it's so easy for me to to post about whatever it is, or to say whatever I want to say and add to the information that exists out there. But is there something deeper? Is there something like more to it? And the attention span thing is something that's so interesting. And it's such a testament to, I think, Satan's attack on the church because of the level of attention, the level of attention that we can give to anything, let alone the things of God, let alone like a relationship or receiving something like in a message or something like that. You know, we have so much information, whether it's video content, audio content, all the different ways that we can receive something, and reading a book or something like that. It's like, oh, how can I disrupt the people? How can I disrupt people from learning about Jesus Christ and reading his word? Well, let's just bombard them with all these different things, and not only bombard them with new religions or new different things, but let's have them look similar to the things of God. Let's have them look similar to what the Bible says, but be a little bit wheat, you know, the wheat and the tares type of situation. I don't know if the video and audio information, how, I mean, maybe part of the tips we can give about that is like, that is all, those are all things that are going, that can impact me. Maybe I don't think that me listening to music all day long in my ears is going to negatively impact me, but it removes us from that possibility of having our thoughts or just thinking and having silence and having quiet in our life. And the book that I was referencing earlier, and then some other books that I've been reading about, are thinking about how Christ lived his life. We are meant to be followers of Christ mm-hmm. and to live a life similar to what he is. And obviously from 2000 years ago, the amount of information that they have compared to now, I don't even know what, you know, 1,000 times, what, a million times as much information. But how do we kind of look, first of all, looking at the disparity that exists within that and the level of information that is coming at us is one way for us to recognize the overload and try to withstand it. And maybe looking at the way that Christ lived his life and how he handled his interactions with people and his information, the information that he had, given that he knows all things and he's the God who created the heavens and the earth, and he's the only one who can absorb all the information that exists in the universe. How can we relate to him? How can we understand, and how can we handle the information overload in our in a practical way?
Yeah.
In our day-to-day lives.
I mean, you gave some tips in what you just said now, but I'm thinking about a few things. Number one is, God asked me to love my neighbor. We made that point earlier. So if I care locally, then I'm doing what God wants me to do. He will give me the capacity. And for the rest, I have to pray.
Yeah.
I don't have to be overwhelmed by everything that's going on in the world. I can care, but can I turn my care into prayer? That would be one the other thing that we can think about. Prayer is insane. Because when did God stop being sovereign? Mm. When did God stop being all-knowing? Mm. You know, and we have this privilege as Christians, as believers, that we can go to God and lay it out, you know, in front of Him.
Yeah.
And that is caring. And if you say, well, it's not practical, it is absolutely practical because it does make a difference for me personally. And if my mental health is taken care of, my sanity, you might say, do you think I'm going to be a better husband and father and neighbor? And yes, of course I will. And the other thing is, like, Bible clearly, that's the last thing I want to say. We're in the world. We're not of the world.
Yes.
And that does not mean, oh, the world is out there, I don't care. But then it does not have the same effect. I'm in it, and I'm happy to be in it. Like maybe like Esther for such a time as this. But that does not mean I have to carry the weight of all that. I can receive things, I can turn to prayer. And then the book of Proverbs is loaded with stuff that tells me don't postpone what you can actually do. Mm-hmm, but we substitute action. You know, we substitute words and posting and worrying
for
actions, yeah. And because we don't have the capacity anymore, you know. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think that I just want to, there's a verse in Romans chapter 6 that it's one that I've applied in different areas of just like your practical life. But in verse 16, it says, do you not know that to whom you present yourself slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. Like, I am choosing who I want to be a servant of or be a slave to.
Absolutely.
And the information I consume is a representation of what I want to be a slave to. Do I want to be a slave to Fox News or CNN or Facebook or Twitter or X, whatever, Instagram? Or do I want to be a servant of the things of God, a servant of the creator of the heavens and the earth? And one other thing that I think we lose when we have this information that helps us explain things is we forget and we lose the sense of wonder and awe that we were made for and that God designed us for when and looking at Him, right? If I can explain all these different things that thousands of years ago, we never knew why it was the way that it was, then, well, maybe we just need a little bit more time so we can explain God or explain these other things. So we replace that information with the awe and wonder that is so important for us in our lives as human beings, because when I look up in the sky and I see the clouds, I can explain why they are the way that they are. I mean, how they formed and what they're likely to, you know, the water cycle and all those different things. But they are declaring the glory of the Lord. The heavens are declaring the glory of the Lord. And we can take out our phone and answer any question that we want to.
Mm-hmm.
But should we?
Yeah.
Or is it okay? Is it better for us to sit in this wonder, sit in this awe and say, I don't know why this is? Because there are some things that we don't have the answers to.
Mm-hmm.
And if I never wonder and I never have that exercise of imagining or dreaming or having creative thought, then how am I going to handle those situations where there's something that I can't explain, where there's a situation or a relationship or something that I go through where I don't have the answers to maybe how it happened or the function of it, but I don't know why.
Yeah.
And this is what points us towards God. The less we have awe and wonder in our life, the more we can explain, but the less we have of God in our life also. So choosing what I am going to be a servant of, will the information serve me or am I serving the information that's coming? And am I willing to, instead of serving that information, serve God?
Yeah.
So maybe taking account of the things that I'm letting, the things that I am serving, the things that I am a servant to, whether it's information, whether it's a Netflix series, whether it's a podcast, whatever the case is, and replacing it, maybe just removing that thing as something that I'm serving for a time and see what could happen. See maybe where you can meet God in those areas of space. Because the other thing is we feel like we're so busy. Mm-hmm. We got nothing to do. I mean, we got so much to do. It's like, oh, well, maybe, maybe I need to stop serving these things that are taking all my time. Because as we said before, time is not something that we have an exponential amount of. We only have a limited amount of. And God is speaking to us. And am I listening? And am I willing to hear what he has to say?
Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Well, thanks for joining us today on the episode. Make sure you subscribe in all the places, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, Facebook. And be sure to check out the rest of the episodes this week as we talk about information, social media, and all those things. God bless you.